So if God is here, would you be ducking behind some people? Or would you just embrace him openly? Come before his presence with singing. Where would you be at with God right now? Because honestly, how many of us know how many ticks our heart's going to have? And if you're not right with God right now, right this moment, why? Because you see, it all boils down to a choice. You can choose to be right with God, or you can choose to just try to ignore him. And sadly, according to God's word, if you ignore him now, he'll ignore you later. You won't get the benefits of his eternal heaven. So I ask you again, are you comfortable in the presence of God right now? Because he's here. And if you're squirming a little bit, if you're going, well, if I went person by person, row by row in this room and asked you that question, to ask you to respond orally so that everybody in the room would hear you, hear your response to that question, would you be comfortable with your response, or would you be really under the glass? God doesn't want you to be under pressure. He's calling each and every one of us to this loving relationship with him. What other God is out there in this world that wants to have a love relationship with you? And I don't mean some weirded out thing that the world thinks is love. I'm talking about a love that wants to care for you, that wants to empower you, that wants to give you love like you have never had it before. Some of you have said no to God just simply because you don't know everything about that love of God. Well, this is love to God, that he gave his one and only son for your sins. That whoever believes in him will no longer feel condemnation. You see, we're not here to try to bring down condemnation on you. We're here to love you into relationship with God Almighty. And understand that though you may not want to accept that right now, God is going to continue to pursue you with his love. He won't let you rest until you do accept his love. And the sooner that you accept his love, the greater your relationship with him will be, as he will reveal himself to you even more and more and more. We invited the Holy Spirit to come here this morning in our prayer time, that the Holy Spirit would bring conviction to those hearts that have not declared Jesus Christ as Lord of their lives. Honestly, folks, we don't want to condemn you. We just don't want your decisions to condemn yourself. Did you hear that? We are not here to condemn you. We're here to try to keep you from your decisions condemning yourself. Nobody sends you to hell. You choose to go there. You choose to go away from the presence of God instead of drawing near. The writer of James says, draw near to God and he will draw near to you. first thing we're asked to do is submit ourselves to God. Okay. Well, but God, if you knew about all the garbage in my life, guess what? He does. And he loves you anyway. He's just waiting for you to come to that point where you just say, you know what? Why am I running from you? Why don't I run to you? Will you make that prodigal child turn today? Will you run to the loving arms of your Father who just wishes to embrace you, not condemn you? He wants you to enjoy all the pleasures of his kingdom. Not because you have a lot of laws to have to find and to follow. Only two. The number one talks about getting to that place where you run to God. Will you love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength? And the second is just like it. Will you love others as you love yourself? Well, Pastor, I'm not sure if I really love myself. Well, if you know Jesus, if you've asked Jesus in your life, then you love yourself. It's the greatest gift you could ever give yourself. Is relationship with the one who created you, made you. Amen? Amen. I need some kids up here. I need some kid power to help me with today's message. Do I have any kids in the audience? Praise God, I do. Amen. Now, you know how in Disneyland, you have those signs around Disney? Anybody been to Disneyland? Any of your kids been to Disneyland? Yes, no, maybe? Okay. You remember seeing those signs that say you've got to be at least this tall to get on the ride? Okay, well, if you are below that hand, I'd like you to go over here. If you're above this hand, I need you to be over here. Below the hand? Over here. Above the hand? Over here. Come on. I need your help today. Okay. You're the only boy? What am I? I'm a boy. I'm a man. It's okay. It's okay. You guys, because you're longer in the tooth, which means you're a little bit older, chill for a minute, please. You guys, I need your attention for a minute, please. Now, the Bible tells us that we've got to believe in our heart and then also speak with our mouth that Jesus is Lord. Do you believe that in your heart? Do you believe Jesus is Lord in your heart? I'm a deaf old man. You got to help me out here. Do you believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord? Yes. Okay. Then will you say it with your mouth? Jesus is Lord. Now drown out her since she's the adult. Come on, kids. Help me. Jesus is. Come on. You can do it louder. Come on. Nobody out here is. Don't even pretend anybody's out here. It's just you and me right now. Say it again. Jesus is Lord. Awesome. Okay. You know what I'm going to call this group? This is the grace group.
Since you're the biggest boy, could you hold that up here for us and make sure that they understand it out there? So you got to turn around and hold that. You can hold it down a little bit so your arms don't get too tired. Okay? Now, because you are the grace group, I have something for you. Because you've believed in your heart and you've professed Jesus Christ to be Lord, I have a gift for you. Would you please take your favorite color? Hurry, this is a... That's your favorite color? Really? Now make sure you got the right color. All right, everybody got it? You can go ahead and open them up and tear into it. Just really enjoy it. You know, in fact, just have a rest. Sit down. Take it easy. You guys would like one of these, wouldn't you? You like Tootsie Roll Pops? I like Tootsie Roll Pops, too. But you know what? This group over here, they're all about the law. You didn't know that, did you? But you have to be, because you have to have two groups. So because you older kids are much more compliant, since you're the only boy. There you go. But they've got to be able to see that, okay? The audience has to be. This is the group that follows the law. They only know God because of laws. How many of you are given orders at your home? You can't do this, or you can't do that, right? And, of course, your parents say, it's for your good, right? I know my parents did. Well, here, these are your laws. Now, what are those laws? What are those called? Come on, girls, this isn't a tough test, okay? They're called the Ten Commandments. Good, good. Okay, I don't know why all of a sudden it got all put on the mute button all a minute. Okay, so if you guys are the law, you're part of the law group, then there's only one way that you are going to get a Tootsie Roll Pop, and that is to obey everything I tell you to do. Right? So, being that I'm kind of into exercise and being fit, you got to give yourself some room. You ready? Here we go. Get right out here to where everybody can watch you. Okay, you guys know how to do jumping jacks? Okay, here we go. Ready, set. One. Excuse me, all participation, please. You are in the law group, please. Okay, here we go. Ready? Come on. Everybody do it. They don't care. These people can do it too. You want to see them do it? Which side is the law group? Which side is the grace group? All right, come on. Come on, kids. Let's show them how to do it. Come on. Five jumping jacks. Ready? Five jumping jacks. Ready? You guys got that worked out between the two of you? Listen to me. I'm your pastor. This is for your good. Okay, ready? Here we go. One, two, three, four, five. Okay, stop. Okay, Jaden, because we're under the law, you didn't do those very well. I know, right? You know, because see, that's all that the law does. The law condemns you. The law never brings doesn't bring salvation to you. The law can only show you what's wrong with you, right? But grace gives us the love of God. How about push-ups? How well are you at push-ups? Okay, no push-ups. I'll let that one go. All right. Let's because you guys are flexible, I know this. Here we go. We're going to bend over and touch our toes five times. Ready? Hands in the air. One. And up. Two. And up. Come on. Three. And up. Four. And up. Five. And up. now we're done. Hands down. Woohoo! Come on, audience. Give them some encouragement. They legally followed all the instructions, and they looked good on that, didn't they? Amen. So, by now, are you still wanting a Tootsie Roll Pop? No? It's not worth it? Ah, come on. No, because you followed all the law, you may now have a Tootsie Roll Pop. All right. Everybody, give these kids a great hand. Amen. Thank you, kids. Thanks for helping me out with my message. I appreciate it. Where's my sign? I worked hard on these signs. I can't just let those go. What are you doing? What? Next time we're going to have to keep the adults off the stage. Oh, I'm sorry, kids. Wait a minute. One more thing. Here. Would you come up and collect these? These are activity sheets for you guys to work on during the sermon. Because I know otherwise you'll probably just fall asleep. So this is exactly what was going on in Acts chapter 15. You see, there was a group of legal people and there was a group of grace. And the group of legal people came down from Judea to Antioch, or I'm sorry, they went up to Antioch, to the church there, to try to get the people that worship there to do the same thing that the Jews were required to do. And that simple act of worship, as far as they felt it was simple, was to be circumcised, that all the men would have to be circumcised. But then, not only that, but everybody had to abstain from eating meat with blood in it or meat that it had been killed by strangulation. They had to also flee from sexual immorality. So there were laws that they wanted to observe, and they wanted the entire church to observe. Why? Because this was all about fellowship. You see, if I'm a Jewish person, if I'm a Jewish believer who has come to Jesus Christ, I have followed these food regulations for all my life. I've known about that. And these are dietary things that are good for your system. It's not good to eat meat with blood in it. Now, whether or not the animal was strangled or not, I don't know why that makes it good or bad, but it did. In the eyes of a Jewish person, they were supposed to abstain from certain things and other things they were supposed to do. They wanted to bring the law into a world full of grace. Because Jesus came not to do away with the law, but to fulfill all the laws and all the prophecies and every regulation that there was for man in order to bring them into a right relationship. You see, these people followed these laws because they thought that that would bring them into a right relationship with God. But what Jesus brought to the people is believe in me. Just simply believe in me. It's a question of whether you're going to accept grace or the law. Now, I love this saying from William Barclay. It's on your outline if you'll take that out. Today's message is called Resolving Issues. There were issues in the early church. And William Barclay said this: peace will never come to a man until he realizes that he can never put God in his debt. In other words, some people will try to be so good that, well, God, you deserve to give me heaven. And so we try to put God in our debt, and man cannot do that. We can't put our Creator in our debt. Rather, we need to worship our Creator. So peace will never come to a man until he realizes he can never put God in his debt, and that all he can do is to receive what God, in his amazing grace, gives to you. You see, you didn't earn it. None of you can be positionally in the right place at the right time. The grace that God gives is for all mankind, and it was issued at the cross where Jesus paid the greatest price for you and for me. Isn't that a great thing? And until we receive that, we'll never have peace with God. But if we'll finally receive what Jesus has done for us, then you and I will have peace with our Maker. And we'll abide with Him forever. Honestly, isn't that what you'd like? So the issue between early believers was the difference, and this is your first fill-in. The issue between the early believers was the difference of following the way of the law or faith in God's abundant grace. They were either going to follow the way of the law, which is not wrong, but if you're going to follow the law, you better follow every word of it, because that's what you will be judged on. God's word says that. If you want to follow the law, fine. Then you follow it to the letter. And don't be found at fault for anything. Or you can follow the way of grace, which basically just takes faith in what God has provided for you to have a right relationship with Him. To me, it's a no-brainer. I don't follow laws very well. If you don't believe it, ask my wife. She's constantly trying to keep me in line. It's a full-time job. And the pay just doesn't match what she has to do. And she has gladly taken on this responsibility. Before God, every day she calls out, "Lord, help me to set this man right. Holy Spirit, empower me to point out where he is in error. And Holy Spirit, speak through me." I'm joking, of course. My wife does speak to me quite often. She tries to give me counsel. "Oh, Don, you really blew it there." I'm like, "Oh, yeah." Man, we don't like to admit it when we're wrong, do we? I'm sorry, what? You never are? What? Wow. You're wrong in that statement. You are not Donald Trump. Thank goodness. But if he is in this crowd, we'd straighten him out. Right? So the issue between early believers was the difference of following the way of the law or faith in God's abundant grace. Galatians 3:5, read this with me, please. "Does God give you his Spirit and work miracles among you because you observe the law or because you believe what you heard?" Why does God issue his Spirit and work miracles among us? Is it because we observe the law? Or is it because we believe what we have heard? Now, just a few weeks ago, we had miracles in this house. These altars were full of people who said, "You know what? I need to turn my life completely over to God." And a miracle was done on that day because God came into their life. Now, are they still walking in the power of that miracle? Let God be the judge. And we It's our job to just love them into the right relationship with God Almighty. Amen? I loved, this past week, Amanda's been working at Family Christian Bookstore. And because of that, she's been given even greater knowledge about things that are out there in the bookshelves or videos that are out there. And there's a video out right now, a couple of videos actually, that have been released for a couple of years. One is called The Holy Spirit. And the second one is Holy Spirit Reborn. And so it's basically the sequel to Holy Spirit. My wife and I sat down with the Mumsy, and we watched Holy Spirit. And Holy Spirit is a film documentary of a few pastors and a few worship leaders, believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, who just wanted to be instructed by the Holy Spirit to go where the Holy Spirit told them to go and to speak the Word of God where the Holy Spirit told them to speak. And so they end up in this documentary traveling to many different locations, and some, one in France, one in India, and where else? Salt Lake City, Utah. I mean, Salt Lake City, Utah? The Holy Spirit directed them to go to the Mecca of Mormonism. He also directed them to go to the Mecca of Hinduism in India. They went to the oldest city known in India where Hinduism was born. They were directed there. And anybody that would bring anything besides Hinduism would be killed, dismembered, even thrown in the Ganges River. But these people went there. And they didn't go there with trying to condemn people. They just went there simply with the power of God to let people know that God is after them in love, not in condemnation. That God is there to love them into a relationship with Him. And then they backed that up with the power of the Holy Spirit doing some miraculous stuff in people. God showed up. But it's all because those people, and they didn't care what people's beliefs were. In fact, they told them that several times. We don't care what your background is doctrinally. Will you just accept this gift of the Holy Spirit? We want to bring a healing back. And the Holy Spirit would bring them words of wisdom. And they spoke to this young man with a backpack on in Salt Lake. I'm not going to tell you the whole movie. I don't want to spoil it. But this was just awesome. They saw this young man walking toward them, and the Holy Spirit told this guy, speak to this young man. And so he stopped him. He says, hi, I'm, and he gave him his first name. And he says, Jesus wants to heal you today. And the kid just kind of, what? What are you talking about? And he goes, and he's just trying to receive this information from the Holy Spirit. Which is something that I really liked about this film, because they said Holy Spirit language is like learning a whole different language. You got to listen to the voice of God. Not listen to your own thoughts and your own preconceived ideas, but you've got to listen to the Spirit of God. And he said to this young man, he goes, Jesus wants to heal your wrist. He says, is there something wrong with your wrist? And the kid just gets wild-eyed looking. I mean, he's like, what? Who told you? And the gentleman said, the Holy Spirit. What's wrong with your wrist? Well, I damaged it 10 years ago. I've got metal holding it together. And he said, can you show me the extent of the movement of your wrist? And so the kid just put his hand out, and he raised his that's about it. And the guy says, would you mind? He says, Jesus wants to heal you today. Jesus wants to restore movement in your wrist today. Would you let him? And the kid said, sure, what do I have to do? And he says, just let me pray for you. He said, now I'm going to put my hand on you if it's okay. Yeah, it's okay. So he put his hand on his wrist, and he just called out to Jesus. Jesus, show this man your glory. Holy Spirit, come here and heal this wrist. Heal it. Double it, Lord. Double it. More. Even more. Do it, Lord. And he took his hand off. He goes, what do you think? He says, what do you got there? And the kid took his hand. He goes, wow. That's pretty good. And you know, you kind of wonder, is this just audio suggestion? Or is God really doing something here? And he says, so what kind of movement do you have now? He goes, oh, maybe about 30, 40%. The guy says, can I pray for you again? He says, sure. And so he prays for him again. He gets a little more mobility in the wrist. And by now he's like flipping his wrist around like crazy. And he goes, is it completely there yet? And he goes, no. About then a pop happens. He goes, pop. And the kid looks at his wrist and he's going, whoa. The guy says, let me pray for you just one more time. And he prays, Lord God, just melt the metal in this wrist. Just restore it to the way that you have created it. Lord God, we speak restoration in the power of Jesus' name. Holy Spirit, come and prove that the Father loves this man. Took his hand off him. He said, do something with that that you haven't been able to do. And the kid's hand just went back. He says, I haven't been able to do that for 10 years. He goes over, there was a planter right next to him, and he put his hand down on the planter, and he's like, wow, I haven't been able to put my hand in that position and to have any strength in it. He says, and the guy goes, push off of it. So he pushed off. He goes, do it again. And he pushed off. You see, the Holy Spirit wants to show up in believers. He wants to do things in the supernatural that we don't even think or imagine. Why? To show off? No. So that these people will be broken down from the barriers that they put between them and God and allow God to come into their lives and change them, for them to get to that place where they will believe that God loves them and cares about them. What about you this morning? Do you know that God loves you? That he truly wants a relationship with just you? Because he does. That's why he sent his one and only Son, so that you and God, the one who created the entire universe, who spoke this earth into existence and all the abundance that we have today. Have any of your taps run dry from water? No. Why? Because God spoke the living waters into our earth. Galatians 3, 21 and verse 24. Read it with me, please. For if a law had been given that could impart life, then righteousness would certainly have come by the law. So the law was put in charge to lead us to Christ, that we might be justified by faith. If you want to know more about Paul's argument between the law and grace, then look it up in Romans chapter 2, verse 28, right on through chapter 10, verse 4. And you will see Paul just lays out this wonderful discourse, this argument between the difference of law and grace. Now let me ask you, kids that received the Tootsie Roll Pops, just by saying, I believe in Jesus, that was pretty easy, wasn't it? You didn't have to do the jumping jacks or touch your toes, right? So the way of the law is tedious. The way of grace, it's a lot easier. Which do you choose to be a part of today? Grace or law? Amen. So, these law-abiding Jews had come down from Judea. And they had caused quite a disturbance within the church in Antioch. You see, because that church was growing and that church was filling up with Gentiles and Jews alike. But there was a disturbance within the church because the Jews, you ever been in a church where there are little pockets of people that like each other and other people that don't like each other? Where this group of people only likes this group, and if you're not part of their group, you're not in. And they just kind of ignore you. Well, see, that was what was happening in this early church in Antioch. You see, there was a disturbance within the fellowship of the believers. And these good-thinking Jews, they had the right idea. Hey, we want to bring some kind of common ground between the Jewish believers and the Gentile believers. If they're going to be able to come together with us because of the laws that have been instructed to us, well, they need to do some things physically and in the realm of food preparation. We can't sit down with them and have a fellowship meal if they give us a bloody steak. It's just going to ruin our fellowship. I can't partake of that. Why? Well, because the Jewish regulations have said, don't eat meat with blood in it. Honestly, when I was younger, that's the only way I liked my steak. Now that I've grown older, I just like it still a little bit pink, but the blood out. And I'm probably no healthier. So, what happened? Well, the church started getting all up, and we have these theological debates within churches, right? Sometimes they get so large that they cause churches to split. This group of people think they're right, and this group of people think they're right. Well, we just can't come to terms, so we'll leave. We'll take our group of people that all think like us, and we'll go to another place, and we'll start up a whole other church that believes just like we do. And this church over here says, this group says, yeah, you go do that. And we'll be a happier lot as well. I'm sorry, but that is not what Jesus came and died on this earth for. He came to bring peace and unity between believers in Him, not disunity. Disunity means dysfunction. It means that we can't lay down our thoughts of how God should be worshiped so that we maintain unity within the body of believers. And I don't mean just unity in this church. I mean unity within all believers. Harry and Lenita are a product of my longing, and not just my longing, but their longing as well, to bring churches together in unity of the Spirit of God. It's what I, as a pastor, have been fighting viciously for 16 years, and guess what? I still don't have it. Because there are some pastors that stand behind this facade of, well, your doctrines are not the same of mine. And I've had those conversations with those pastors and just say, I'm sorry, is God not your father? Well, yes, God's my father. And how did he become your father? Was it because he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for your sins? Yes. Guess what? He did mine too. We're together. We have the same father, and Jesus Christ died for us. And have you received the gift of the Holy Spirit?
Well, now wait a minute. You're getting way too jumpy there, Froggy. What are you going to start doing? Rolling on the ground, barking like a dog, laugh until you're insanely crazy. Does the Spirit of God really do that? Or does the Spirit of God just make clarity out of the Word of God to us? Teach us. He doesn't want us to be public spectacles. He wants us to bring the presence of Jesus Christ to people's lives. Did you ever hear of Jesus rolling around on the ground? Howling at the moon? Getting so hilariously laughter that people didn't understand him? No. Jesus came to bring the grace of Jesus, of God, to you and to me. Because God the Father had instructed him, I want you to bring people back into a right relationship with me, a relationship that I had with Adam and Eve in the garden, where we walk and we talk together all day long. So the resolution was meant to maintain unity when eating together and sexual purity in Christ's body. Sexual purity. We don't hear much about that in the church today. And yet that is what God desires in His church body. He desires us as people to rein in our passions and our desires. In fact, Paul goes on to further instruct, hey, if you can't rein that stuff in, then get married. And let one person satisfy you. But until you get married, you keep yourself sexually pure. And that means not just the acts. It means the thoughts. It means rein it in, people. And we are bombarded in our world with sexuality. I don't know what showing a good-looking, short-dressed woman has to do with selling a car. But that's what the car auto industry thinks will attract us. Do they put a bunch of muscly guys up on the stage with their newest models when they have car shows? Or do they put girls in high heels? Right? They're trying to sell us a vehicle through sexuality. Jesus says, keep yourself pure. Young ladies in the audience, God gave us this wonderful drive, but He gave that to you to be able to produce offspring when you get married. Not just to produce offspring, to produce offspring. It is not about our feelings and about our excitement getting satisfied. Sexual purity is to be kept for marriage. You keep yourselves until that one man that you have vetted out, in other words, you've seen what his life is really all about. You keep yourself pure until that one man comes, and let him have your heart then. You don't give away your heart to just any good-looking guy that comes along who has a Justin Bieber haircut. And promises that he'll love you. No, you give your heart away to him, you will get hurt. How many older women in the audience can say amen? So some of you younger women, if you're having a problem with this, talk to some of these older women, because they have gone through some very hurtful relationships because they have given themselves to the wrong man. It was not the man that God had for them. Instead, they involved themselves physically. And what does God's Word say about that? Well, Pastor Don, you better get away from your preaching and get back into the Word of God. Corinthians 6, 18 and 20. Flee, come on, everybody.
flee from sexual immorality. All other sins a man commits are outside his body, but he who sins sexually sins against his own body. Do you not know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have received from God? You are not your own. You were bought with a price. Therefore, honor God with your body. In Colossians 3, 13 to 15. And this is how we are to treat one another in the body of Christ, because none comes in here perfect. Amen? But we are to do what? Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievances you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. And over all these virtues, put on love, which binds them all together in perfect unity. Let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, since as members of one body, you were called to peace. You see, there was disruption in this church in Antioch of Syria. And so, what did they do? Well, they sent a delegation to Jerusalem, to where the disciples still were, to say, okay, how are we going to work this out between Jews and Gentiles being in a church together? And the council in Jerusalem said, we are not going to require circumcision. In fact, Paul argued vehemently against such an act. But we will ask them, because we want them to have fellowship within eating together. We'll ask them to keep from eating any meat that has blood in it or that was strangled, and to stay sexually pure. There must be sexual purity in the church. Because you see, these Gentiles, they brought in, they didn't care. It was part of rituals. In fact, it was part of some religious rituals to have sex with everybody there. We call them orgies.
Warning. Will danger. Warning. Get them out.
It's an Amber Alert. Loving Heavenly Father, for whoever that person that's missing, we pray, Lord God, that the right people spot them, that they are restored to their family and their people. Church, we're to keep the unity within the body of Christ. We're not supposed to look down on each other. We're not supposed to look away from each other. Instead, we're to love one another. Don't avoid each other. Instead, there's a sweeter fellowship when we dine together, when we break bread together, which is what I'd like us to go down and do. Let's go down and have sloppy joes together. Thanks to Brother John and Sister Pat. Let's keep the unity of love between us. And let's keep each other accountable for how we are living a life that reflects Jesus Christ as our Lord. Loving Heavenly Father, let your Holy Spirit do what only your Holy Spirit can do. Let him bring every heart here under conviction. If they're not right with you in their relationship, Lord God, then through the power of your Holy Spirit, bring them into that. Bring a desire within those people that have not declared Jesus Christ Lord. Bring a desire within them to want that. To be joined with you, Father, not to be joined in a church. It's not about membership of a church. It's about relationship with you. That they would want that both now and for all eternity. Break down those walls, Lord. Restore them through the power of your blood, Jesus. bring them into right relationship with you. That we might have fellowship and unity in the body of Christ. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen.